Welcome to the ministry of Pastor Chris Ross. Pastor Chris has a dynamic teaching anointing, and he is the founder of the very vibrant Breakthrough Christian Church in Cape Town, South Africa. He is a healing evangelist and touches many lives through the Jesus the Answer outreach ministry. Now, enjoy this message by Pastor Chris.
Cannot solve it. There is no mountain too high, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe. If He carries the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. Oh, if He carries the weight of the world upon His shoulders, my sister, that He will carry you. There is no problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too high, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. Oh, if He carries the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. The weight of the world upon His shoulders. Whoa. I know, my sister, that He will carry you. And He says, come unto me, oh, who are weary, and I will give to me, oh, are weary, and I will give you rest. Oh, if He carries the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. Yes, He will. If He carries the weight of the world upon His shoulders, whoa, I know, my sister, that He will carry you. I know, my brother, that He will carry you. My sister, that He will carry you. I have made you too small in mine eyes. Oh Lord, forgive me. And I have believed in the lie that you were unable to help me. Strong and in my heart and with my song, oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Small in my eyes, oh Lord, forgive me. I have believed in the lie that you were unable to help me. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. My heart and show yourself strong, and in my heart and with my song, oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Oh, be magnified. Oh Lord, you are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Forgive me, and I have responded to them instead of your love and your mercy. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. My heart and with my song, oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Oh, be magnified. Oh Lord, you are highly exalted. Nothing you can do. Oh no, no, no. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be
it's time for the word of God, amen. Come on, I said it's time for the word of God, amen. The Bible says there was a man called Stephen, and he was full of faith and power, and he did wonderful miracles amongst the people. I believe we have a man of God in our midst that's full of power, filled with the word to bless us. If you agree with me, rise to your feet as we welcome my father, your pastor, Pastor Chris. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated for a while. We welcome all of you here this morning. Hallelujah. Let's go to the word of the Lord this morning. The children, are they going somewhere? Yes? And they're staying? All right. Yeah, we're having issues. So I'm going to be short. We want to finish by 1:45. So we have at least 15 minutes to say hello to each other. Are you happy? I'm so happy to see you in the morning. I'm sure you're also happy to see me on a Sunday. Sunday is the day when we gather. It's the gathering service. We come to worship God. Hallelujah. Because He's worthy of our worship and He's worthy of our praise. I looked across the audience and I realized we didn't bring too many visitors. Should we have done that, I would have preached a different sermon. But I want to continue then this morning, helping you on tithing. Amen. I phoned my friend in Kenya, Pastor Jimmy, or he phoned me, and we were discussing things. He's building also a big church building. And we spoke. Then he made a joke. He said, if you had invited me, I would have raised quite a lot of money for you here, but you didn't invite me. Then I said to him, no, we are taking pledges. And then we discussed. He said, you know, the best way to... Can somebody check my mic out and what was the problem with my mic? Why it wasn't working? Who's the engineers here? Because this thing is also not working properly. It's going off all the time. What was I saying before I said that? Huh? Speak up. I can't hear you. Pastor Jimmy. I was talking to Pastor Jimmy. I'm getting older now, so I sometimes forget things that I'm saying. So Pastor Jimmy said the best thing to do is not this pledges actually, is to teach the people to tithe. Yes. And I agree with him fully. He said if your people tithe, we don't need pledges, we don't need parties. I remember Bishop Dagg telling the story of him going to a service to preach at a place, I think it's in Malaysia or somewhere. And he asked the pastor, must I take the offering? The pastor said, no, we don't take offerings here. He said, what do you mean? He said, no, we don't take offerings. We don't need offerings. There's enough money in the church. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, the people are all tithers. They bring their tithes. So you don't have to preach. You preach, we'll pay you. No, anything is paid already. Don't worry to take offerings. And that's how God initially intended the church to be. It's true. That there might be meat in my house. We can look after the pastors. We can look after the widows. We can look after the orphans. We can look after the staff in the church, including the workers, the musicians, everything. If we had done what the Lord had asked us to do. So, my sermon today continues where I stopped last week. It is about wealth creation. I want you to be wealthy. Would you like to be wealthy? Amen. Amen. You see, like you can also go on the yacht with me if you can afford it. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you so that you can be where I am also. Jesus didn't want to have the nice things alone. He wanted his people, his followers to also enjoy nice things. And I'm sure I want you also to enjoy nice things. Hallelujah. And nice things is coming your way because it's the year of good things. Praise the Lord. So
My series is really called, and I didn't mention it last week, How Tithes Fulfill the Law of Wealth Creation. How tithes fulfill the law of wealth creation. There's a law of wealth creation. You must abide by the laws if you want to see the success of the laws. We also want to categorically state that we are very happy and blessed that a new president has been sworn in to lead the country. And we know that it's going to be better than the former. Amen. The latter will always be greater than the former. So we are blessed. We can see that things are looking better for all of us in South Africa. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The economy is turning, so more jobs will be available, and you will prosper even more in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So last week when we started, Pastor Moses explained the mysteriousness of wealth creation. And he said to you this morning that the law of humility was an important law. Only humble people can receive instruction. It's as clear as that. Humility is so important. My wife was telling me of a lady who asked, said, one day when I die, please bury me. And she said the lady was in this church before and she left. But they don't attend the church anywhere. And she just mentioned that, you see. But the problem with people is why they can't be in under any authority and submission is the problem of humility. Do you understand? When people are like this, that they don't like people to tell them what to do. It's the biggest problem in the Bible. It's a problem of rebellion, submission, humility, pride. It was Satan's problem. It's our problem. So God warns us more than once about humility. He warns us about how we will lift up the humble, but He will bring down the proud. It's a very serious thing. And if you don't know, I'm writing a book about it, which will be out soon. My books are coming out soon in Jesus' name. Small, small books. You can all read it. Very nice. It's about this thing, the rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as idolatry. So part one is about rebellion, part two is about stubbornness. It's a problem I see in my people. Two things, rebelliousness and stubbornness. But the real key, what I wanted to mention to you, is humility. Only a humble person can really understand and enjoy tithing. Right? The second key was sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. Remember? Are you here? It's a law. If you don't sow, you won't reap. And everybody that's giving now, or giving your tithe, you are looking ahead to the future. Wealthy people, they make plans for the future. Do you know that? That's why when a wealthy man dies, everybody's interested in his will. But when poor people die, nobody's interested in the will. Look around us in our communities. If somebody dies here, there's not even a will. Because there's nothing to give away. But the Bible says that a wise man, he leaves an inheritance for his children. Do you understand? You must build up something in the lifetime you have so that when you go, your children are not impoverished. Are you all listening to me? Yes. So wisdom looks to the future in this sense where it's a good thing to take like a policy, say the day you retire, or a burial funeral, the day that you die, there's money to bury you, stuff like that. Do you understand? That's a wisdom. Then also maybe pay a pension fund. Because what are you doing? You're looking to the? But people that a poor man doesn't think about the future. He only thinks about today. Survival for today. It's a poor mindset. So you say, I have this 300 rand. Come, let's enjoy it today. The wise man says, no. Let's just use the 100. Let's save this money and let's pay our debts with that money. That's wisdom. I'm just saying all that because you see, tithing, it's not, you're not giving money away. You are sowing a seed into your future. Hallelujah. And when you need it, it's going to come back to you. Joseph said to Pharaoh, there are 7 dry years coming. Let's put away for the future. And when the whole world of that time was in trouble, the wisdom of Joseph saved the Egyptians and also the Israelites because he thought about sowing for tomorrow. Are you listening? It's the same with education. We spoke about it last week. You study now so that you can live better in the future. But the poor, stupid man, he plays now and he suffers for the whole future. It's the law of sowing and reaping. If you help someone, it will come back to you because someone will help you one day. If you give to someone, somebody will give to you one day. It's a law. It's a biblical law. And then the last one was priorities. I'm just running over it. Priorities. You must get your priorities right. Now, number 4. It's the law of copying. Very important. It's the law of copying. The laws of wealth creation. How do we become wealthy? Hallelujah. You know why I love this church? Because when I find the people here, I don't find them rich. I'm not after your money at all. Because I don't think you have much money now. But you'll see the more you receive the word, the more you are humble, the more you submit, you'll see that you'll be a substantial person one day. With a nice Golf GTI and a nice house. But it's not that I don't want your money. I'm just want to empower you so that you can become self-sustainable. You don't have to loaf for money. You don't have to stand in the line and make like your leg is broken for sasa money. No. You will be a person that will be a helper and you will be giving to many. Amen. Because the borrower is always a servant to the lender. If you rent a house, it's not your house. You're borrowing that house, right? If the owner comes and the owner says, who broke this? Who broke that? You must say, oh, please. Oh, I'm sorry. You're always a servant. You're always a slave because it doesn't belong to you. You're a borrower. That scripture really, really bothered me for long because Bishop Dagg used to tease me with that scripture. He says, you see, you don't have a church. You are renting. You are a servant. So that's why myself and Roland, is Roland around? Yeah. Myself and Roland, we go to the site every day because the sand belongs to us. Nobody tells us what we must do with our own sand. Sometimes we throw it up there and sometimes we throw it there. But it's ours. Nobody tells us when we must leave there. Sometimes I say, Roland, go home. He says, Pastor, I want to stay a little longer to pray. I don't know if it's staying away from his wife. What is the reason? But he wants to stay. He said, Pastor, I want to stay a little longer. Because nobody can tell us when to come. It's like a burden is off our shoulders. Yeah, also that. Is any of you see? This is your groen. This is also groen. You see, I wanted to rid myself of the pressure of being a servant. I will not be a servant. And I will not let the curse of Ham press me down. I fight against the curse of Ham. Amen. And you will also fight the curse of Ham. And you will beat. You may be seated. I didn't ask. It's wonderful. So by sowing and reaping, by copying, by prioritizing, these are all the secrets of getting wealthy. Hallelujah. And it all encompasses giving a 10% of what you have to God. Hallelujah. So I don't find you rich, but you become rich by empowerment. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? God is going to take you from where you are and lift you to next levels of glory. You will not stay where you are. You know, it's my desire for all of you to have your own house. I have a very nice house. I extended my house every. I just love building. That's why building projects is something I really enjoy. I want to be early on the site. I love building. And I'm praying to God that I will build more than one building. Many churches. But when I look at the people and where they stay, then I say, I wish you can have your own decent house, you know. And I'm helping some people what to do, how to move, what to do. So that you can move out of being a servant to having what is your own. Hallelujah. And one of the secrets is to look after the thing that is not yours. That means you are a steward. And when you get yours, you can look after it even better. Wow. Are you listening? Yes. So Christians, the tithe principle is the most important thing for wealth creation. I can't pray you wealthy. I even can't give you money to make you wealthy because there's something missing. You waste all the money I give you. Because the blessing comes from above. Amen. And by tithing, you activating heavenly blessings. That thing of Malachi, that windows will be opened for you. Windows. Try that I won't open the windows of heaven for you. Now, number four is emulation. And why emulation or copying? I spoke about it last week, so I won't go into much detail. Is that we know that the richest people in the world, they practice this thing of tithing. The Jewish people. So, if you are wise, you will just copy what the Jews do. Give of the tithe. Give of the tithe, and you will also prosper. Copying and emulation is God's way of making you go forward fast. You search forward and you catch up. So if you see anybody ahead of you, you find out, why are you so far ahead of me? What are you doing that makes you far ahead of me? And then you do the same thing that man is doing. And you see, you're also coming closer to him. It's the law of emulation, copying. Are you here? These things I'm teaching you are so basic, but it is what will propel you forward if you just do it. If you just do it. Don't ask too many questions, you see. I'm coming to that point now. You're just obedient. Amen. Just be obedient. If you ask too many questions, you're going to be left behind. Number five. Are you learning this?
Amen.
It's a blessing. Let me give you the scripture, because the scripture is more important than anything else. Hebrews 6:12, it says, that ye may be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Don't be lazy, but follow people who have inherited promises of God. Is it in the Bible? Is copying in the Bible? There's the scripture for copying. There's another scripture for copying. It's in Genesis when he says the seed will come, the will produce after its own kind. A cow will bring forth a cow. A lion will bring forth a lion. It's a copy of what was already there. It's in the Bible. So you that come to this church must find someone you want to copy. You see? But the person must be ahead of you. Don't copy somebody that's behind you. You're also going to go backwards. Does it make sense? See somebody you like and say, I want this. And copy. It's the fastest way. Now we go back to point one. Why can't people copy the problem of humility? I don't want to be like him. I want to be my own self. I want to be original. I want to do this. You're wasting your time. You don't have much time to live. Quickly catch up. Quickly catch up. And the book that we studied some months ago called The Art of Following, we realized that the children use this more than anybody else. Children copy. That's why children hear you speak and they can speak just like you when they are 3 years old. In 3 years' time, they have caught up with all your language. Even if you swear, they copy you, they swear like you. But they just learn, they hear the words, Masa, Mas, Masa, Mas. Even the manners, you see. It's copy, the art of copy. There was this little video clip that we laughed at where this boy was, his mother was scolding him and he was scolding his mother back, but we could see that he used the same style as his father. He was a small, he was 3 years old or 4 years old. His mother was talking to him and he kept saying to his mother, "You're not listening to me, you're not listening to me. Listen, listen when I talk." It's more like this. He said, "Linda, Linda, listen, Linda, listen. You're not listening, Linda. Please, Linda, listen." He copied his father. So he become like his father. Do you understand? It's not wrong, but you must copy the right people. Follow the right people. And you will become like the people. The law of emulation. Powerful. But you can't do that if you're not humble. If you're not humble. You become little Pastor Chris's. It's true. And don't let anybody tell you it doesn't work. You come. I'm a living proof of it. Because of copying, I've searched forward and I'm catching up. I had one church, now we have 11 churches. We had no building, now we have buildings. I'm searching forward and I'm catching up. Oh. Are you listening? And may you also humble yourself enough to search forward and to catch up. Praise the Lord. Now I go to the next number. Number 6, isn't it? Number 5, I'm sorry. The law of seasons. Tithing Christians understand the law of seasons. And if they understand the law of seasons, it also makes you wealthy. The law of seasons. Because the whole world or the earth has been created to operate in seasons. There is a time to sow seeds and there's a time to reap what is sown. Say amen. Amen. There's a time when it is cold and there's a time when it is hot. And it is only those who have understood the concept of the seasons who truly prosper. I repeat that one because I think I missed you. In America, they preach like this. They say, it is only those who understand the concept of the seasons who truly prosper. Oh, let me try this group over here because that group is sleeping. Oh, it's the time of... Have you seen the Americans preach like that? Oh, let me try this people in the middle over here. If you don't understand the times of that there is a season, you see, then you just think of today, is what I said earlier. You're narrow-minded. They don't need for no. But by tithing, you are planting a seed for the coming seasons. If a farmer plants in the winter, his crops will fail. They know there are times when to plant. Now, this friend of my wife was giving us the plants, the trees for the... He said... We can't plant now. He said the trees will die. He said, "We are come in May month." So he told us, prepare the ground so long. It's not time to plant now because certain factors of which he understands trees, he grows trees. He said, no, May month, maybe June is the best time, but prepare the ground so long. Do you understand? If you do not understand the seasons, you see, you cannot reap a harvest. You don't understand how the law of God works in seasons. There's hot and there's the sun. There's the cold and the hot. It's a Genesis, the Genesis principle. As long as the earth remains, there'll be seasons. Seed time, harvest, summer, winter. Are you here still? And your failure to receive a crop or a harvest is because you fail to understand the season. The farmers will tell you, if the rain doesn't fall now, the harvest will be finished. Hallelujah. And everybody who tithes, they demonstrate that they recognize the season of sowing our seeds. Recognize the season. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad that I have become a tither many years ago. And I'm walking in the blessing of God. Because I'm always expecting a harvest. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. The Bible says there is a right time for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and there is a time to harvest. So every time you're coming to stand here with a tithing envelope, you are planting. What are you doing? You are planting. For your own prosperity. Hallelujah. For the future. For the future. There are many debts that will cripple you in the future if you didn't make a plan. When our kids were small, my wife very intelligently started school policies for them. Now, if you don't think ahead, you'll say, let's use that money and buy a pie and a Coke. 49 rand. But she gave it to the school. So when the year they had to go to school, the policy could give them the money for their school uniform, their school books, and we just kept on doing it like that. But now if you come to, your child goes to school, no frazema, where's my uniform? Where's my books? Then we ask you, what did you plant? Where's the seed you had to plant when we started planting when the baby was 1 year old? You never planted the seed. How can you reap a harvest? We planted the seed. That is why we are reaping the harvest. It's the same with tithing. If you want God's blessing, be obedient to Him. Plant the seed. God wants you to prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. Dag hy hulle nie so sad like ek sê vir hulle. Somebody said to Mike Murdoch, money. What did he say? Something about money is from the devil. Or money doesn't make you happy. So Mike Murdoch said, I agree, money doesn't make you happy, but spending money does. I think it was powerful. Don't you think so? I mean, if you must have money now and you can spend and buy anything, you'll be so happy, I'm telling you. You'll be so happy. Hallelujah. Number six. Tithing Christians, they also understand the law of a willing attitude. The law of a willing attitude. A willing attitude. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 and 20. The Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. Have you ever heard this wonderful saying that Vincent Alexander, my friend, always says? He says, your attitude determines your altitude. It means the way you are, the higher you will go. Your attitude, the way you think, is what will determine the height you will reach. Amen? And it's true. Now that we are working on the property, I sense that there are certain people that I like around me, especially the willing people, that I don't have to say 3, 4, 5 times something. Somebody that has a good attitude. Do this, and they're willing. You see, it determines also how high they will go and even what type of jobs I will give them. I want such people around me. I love it. Willing people. Maar mensen wat moet gesoepat raak is maar baie swaar met sulke mensen te werk. Amen. I mean, even coming to church. I mean, okay, because this is a nice, exciting church. I'm sure that the kids also love to come here. But when we went to church, my father had struggles with my brothers getting them to go to church. They never had a willing attitude. But may you always have a willing attitude in Jesus' name. So if you have this flowing attitude and a very willing attitude, it's important. Because people will like to work with you. Hallelujah. And you will go higher in the sky. And how do we know, how do we determine the attitude of anybody? Just give him something to do. As hy iets kry om te doen, kyk ons hoe lyk jy, né? As hy nog daar, ons gaan nou klaar maak, hallelujah. You see, without a positive attitude, you cannot give away 10% of your hard-earned money. Because most of us, we can't really survive on the 90%. We can't even survive on the 100%. Say amen. We need even more. Wouldn't 200% be better? If the boss says, I think I must give you 200% money, you will all put your hands up and say, Lord, we love you. We worship you, Lord. We actually worship the money, but it will suddenly say, we worship you, Lord. So it doesn't make sense to give away 10% of your income to undefined spiritual causes unless you have a willing attitude. You will not practice tithing. I give willingly my tithe, not grudgingly. I don't have a problem. I give my tithe. I'm excited to give my tithe because it's what keeps me alive. It's what opens the windows of heaven for me. Hallelujah. And when you tithe, you will develop a flowing, willing attitude for something you can't fully understand. You can't understand that you must survive on less than the person who's not a tither. But with a willing attitude, you say, I'll do it in any case. Hallelujah. Number 7. The second last, or the last one. The last is the last. I'm closing. Wow, I preached fast this morning, huh? Tithing Christians understand another law. It's called the law of obedience. I've given you 7 laws now. The law of obedience. What was law number 1? Somebody that's listening in the church, the law of humility. Number 2, the law of sowing and reaping. Wonderful. Number 3, prioritization. Some of you talk so through your lips, you must open your mouth nice and speak nice. Like you say to your girlfriend, I love you. So you must... They can hear you from far. You say, when I ask you, the law of prioritization, putting things first. Number 4, the law of copying. The law of emulation. You don't know the value of the things I'm saying to you today. I'm making you wealthy. You won't struggle. Your parents might have struggled, but because you are learning new things from me, you will not struggle. You won't need me to give you money ever, because it is your tithe that will provide for you. True. Your tithing will open the windows of heaven for you. Not me. Hallelujah. What was number five? The law of... Understand the seasons. Daar kom swaar tye vorentoe, donker wolke. There are seasons. Day and night, summer, winter, cold and heat. It's not always the same. Season of mourning, season of laughter. Time to be born. And the time to die. But you must plant now for what is ahead. And then what was the other one? Number six? Willingness. Willing to be a willing giver. And the willingness sometimes make you do things that you don't always fully understand, but you are willing. You are willing. It's so nice to work with willing church people. Willing. Have a willing attitude. We have many workers at our site, but some of them you can see when they get off the bucket that brings them, they didn't want to be there. They come with earphones to work, listening to their CD music. They were forced out of bed. They are here, but I can't look at them because for security reasons. Is it die man het die lus om hier te visie? Hy het maar gekom want sy pa het hom gevra of sy pa het hom gestuur, maar hy het die lus nie. You know the young boy that's on our property? What's his name? Jerome. That guy. If there's ever anybody with a willing heart, it's him. I never made a mistake to put him there. You can ask them. His job is to be a security. But you know, when the people come to work, the guy, he rolls up his sleeves, he jumps with a spade, he's sweeping, he's mixing concrete, he's paving. I said, Jerome, don't forget you are security. You must also look after my place, you know. He's working, pushing the wheelbarrow. How nice. Nice to have a willing person. Nee, ek moet jou nie soebat en sleep. Wil jy kom, gaan jy kom. Ons gaan tea gee, ons gaan koekies ook gee. Wil jy nie kom mee? I can't work with such people. I will try to bring you, but you won't be close to me. Because I get the scabies, I get... Must be a willing heart. And what's the last one? Obedience. I taught you seven powerful keys. I'm going to explain a little bit about obedience now. Are you learning these things? There's a gentleman where we are working. He's joining the church in Symphony. The church we're starting is called, it's the Symphony branch. He was working with my men for the week, and he came to me, and the way he spoke, he said that he's never ever seen something like this in his life. Because he was dealing with all the individuals that were working on my site, and they were giving him testimonies of where they came from and what the Lord had done for them through the church here and the ministry. And the guy said, my mind is totally confused. I've been in churches all my life, but I've never seen transformation in the lives of people like I've seen. And he says, like, the most remarkable thing for him is he spoke to all of them. Not one of them gossiped about the other one. Hulle praat nie sleg van mekaar nie. But it's men, of course. Men. When women are there, this might be different. Might be different. I don't have a rehab for women because I don't know. My wife must take care of the woman. He said, he's never seen, and the way he says, when I come, before I've asked a question, they've already done what I wanted them to do. That the speed with which they move. He's telling everybody in the street, you must come to this church. He told me his mother is a church hopper. He was born again, but he backslid, but he's coming back to the church. He said his mother and his sister's a church hopper. They are from church to church. And he went to see them and he said, Mama, leave the church where you are now. I found the right church for you. But then I said, brother, I don't think I want the mother here by me. Because when hopping is in your blood, when hopping is in your blood, you're going to hop further a little bit away. Give me the young people, the young people. I can transform them easy. But he was amazed. Like I was asking the one, I said, the name of the street, I can't remember, it's on the... And then one of my guys ran to the corner to read the name of the street and to come and to tell me. He said, this is what I'm talking about. I've never seen this in my life. So he asked me, I know so many pastors. So what have they been doing all these years? I said, no, everybody doesn't have the same grace to do the same things. But I said, I'm also not excited for you people that's already over 40. Because unless you have a willing heart, I can't change you. I can show you there's water, but I can't force you to drink. But those who have drunk, they've seen the difference. Rivers of living water. Marriages are mended. Hallelujah. Drug addicts become sober. Drunkards leave the wine. I'm just struggling to get the fighting out of many of my brothers, but that's also changing. Amen. Obedience. I'm closing. Play softly there for us, brother. Obedience. It creates wealth. The ability to obey instructions is another quality that will make you wealthy. Because obedient people go further than disobedient people. Say amen. Amen. It's true. And it is easy to see. We all love people who obey our instructions, isn't it? The mother will say of the children, this is my beloved son, because when I tell him to do something, he does it. You get the children, they say they're going to do something, they don't never do it. Was is kotel goed op? Ek kom, mami. Het is nooit gekom, he. So the one who does it, the mother will say, no, this is my daughter. What makes her so favorite is her obedience. Are you listening? Many of the tests in your life will be the test, simply be the test of obedience. And tithing is such a test. Hallelujah. It is a test that you will have to pass if you want to do well. Do you want to do well in life? You must pass the test of tithing. Obey God. Give Him 10% of your earnings. And the greatest harvest of the tither is the harvest of the seeds of obedience. Even if it was only blind obedience to God, it is a very important thing to do. Because we can never trust you with certain positions if you are not obedient. We cannot even trust you with certain amounts of money if you are not obedient to the one who gives the money to you. Jesus Christ Himself said, if you love me, you will obey me. Say amen. Amen. And this is how you prove your love for God, by obedience. The King Saul, he lost his right to the throne because he was disobedient. And maybe you will also lose your right to certain wonderful positions of authority because you have failed to obey God in the matter of tithing. Do not let tithing be a stumbling block over which you lose your blessing and promotion. Don't be like Saul, I pray, who was rejected because he disobeyed God in a simple matter. Samuel said, 1 Samuel 15:22. I'm finished preaching. Listen. Here's the most important part of the sermon. As my little book is about this. Samuel said, "Had the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Then verse 23 is important. It says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." Aye. Listen, you will think then, why did you make him lose the kingship? All he did was, he should have killed the animals and the cow, and he should have, but he kept some for himself. You know, like Zuma kept a lot for himself, but this guy only kept a few animals. He didn't take money, or just a few. But the small mistake, the small disobedience cost him his position in life that he would have had. God said, "Take him away. He doesn't listen when I talk." May you not lose what God had planned for you because of your disobedience. And the word of the Lord instructs you to bring your tithe to God. And just the simple act of that obedience will propel you into positions of authority and greatness. But if you don't, then you are rebelling against the word of the Lord. Is there? There's the verse. "He has rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being the king." May the Lord not reject you. May the Lord accept you. And if you were not a tither, today is the day that you can start. And if you are a tither, keep doing what brings obedience in the presence of the Lord. Because to obey is better than to sacrifice. Hallelujah. I want to see you all wealthy in a few months and years from today onwards. I want to see your family blessed. You see what happens with the tithe? There's a certain intervention from God on your behalf. He says, "I will rebuke two enemies that will come against you. The one is called the devourer, and the other one is the destroyer. The devourer eats up a lot of the things. He makes holes in your pocket. But the destroyer completely destroys all your crops. But the Lord said the tithe prevents those two enemies from killing you, destroying you. I will rebuke the devourer and the destroyer." Hallelujah. May you rise up to have enough money to phone me one day and say, "Pastor, I want to take you for a breakfast." Not at McDonald's, no. A real coffee, Pastor. And I'll pay. And I'll even tip the waiter. It's a blessing. And you're going to get there. Pastor Nilton is not here. He was one of those that was so obedient to me. And I saw God blessing. I always rebuke him because I don't want him to lose that humility and that willingness and that obedience. When I see you start to pull yourself up, then I know there's a problem. So you must be thankful if you get many rebukes. It's a good test for you. It's a great test. You're staying down, staying humble. You will go high in God. You go very far. Others will laugh at you. They will have you people, you run around when the pastor talks. Don't worry about these idiots. Those idiots. You see, in a few years, you'll have more than that idiot because of your obedience. I'm telling you, you'll have more. And if you sit still and think about it, sit still and think about it, you're already better off than what you were when you came here. Sometimes you just don't think about it. My wife was telling somebody yesterday, sit still and think about what I said to you and come back to me afterwards. Don't talk now. Sit still and think about what I said. Think. If you look nicely, you are much better off than what you were when you came here. Oh, you don't believe me? I can show you a picture of what you look like when you came here before. We have all the photos here. Where's the photographer? There she at the back. Yeah. We got pictures. You're going to look much better than you looked before. You're going to have more wealth than you had before. Why? You became obedient to the word of the Lord. And God will not reject you. God will rather bless you. Stand to your feet. We finish. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. I'm going to just say a prayer. You know, we want to also obey the school's request of us to just maybe, just only today. They won't happen again. They still had an issue from last year where people booked the venue here for a lunch. That's the only reason. So I also like to be obedient because obedience brings blessings. I'm praying for you now. But before I do that, is there anybody here today? You don't serve God the way you should. And you want me to pray for you. Say, Pastor, I want to serve the Lord. I want to be a Christian. I want to be born again. Is there somebody like that? Put up your right hand. Put it high so I can see. I want to pray for you. If you want to be born again, you want to be a Christian. You want to serve God with fire, with excitement, with zeal. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? I see your hand. Is there anybody? Can you quickly come forward for me, please? Just come. Clap for them as they come. Come. Stand here. Oh, welcome. Come, sir. I want to serve the Lord. I want to follow after the Lord. I want to be a Christian, a strong, on fire Christian. I want to pray for you. The Bible says, if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Many years ago, I came down an aisle. It wasn't even in a nice church like this. It was in a tent where there was sand on the floor. I went on my knees and I cried to God. And since then, I never turned back. And today, I'm standing here preaching to some of you. It's the greatest day in your life when you give your whole life to God. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I come to you today just as I am. I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. Please wash me from my sins. Take your precious blood and clean me, Lord, from the top down to my feet. Write my name in the book of life. I want to follow you and I want to serve you. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on Satan. I want to serve you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Change my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Lord, I pray for them that the prayer they prayed is the prayer of faith and that their lives change from this day on. You have chosen the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise people, that the life can be changed by response to the preaching. I thank you for saving them. I thank you for transforming them. I thank you that you will take care of them. May your hand be upon them. And may the evil bird not steal the seed that was planted in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just take them back to their seats and give them a little booklet. And then after the service, make sure you see them. Please, usher leader. Now I'm closing. Lift your hands. Father, bless every BCC member and every visitor that came to this church this morning. I now pray, Lord, that your hand of protection will be upon us. We live in a dark and an evil world, but we know by your divine intervention you can protect us from evil. You will deliver us from evil. And now I pray and declare that your mighty hand will go with us, your angels will walk with everyone, and that no evil will come to us. The snare of the fowler, the arrow that flieth by day, and the pestilence in the noonday, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I pray that we will be protected. May healing flow into our bodies in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every growth that is not supposed to be in our bodies. I curse it to its roots in the name of Jesus. Every cancer growth, I rebuke it. I curse it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the power of God, the healing anointing, will touch us, Lord, will restore us, will flow through our veins and through our blood vessels in the name of Jesus. And Lord, keep us as we prepare for tonight also. May this power of God, the anointing of God, be present in our midst. Pray for everyone that's in need of help in the area of tithing. May they be turned to be obedient to you. May they turn. May they try and test you and see if you won't open the windows of heaven for them. Pour out such a blessing, they cannot contain it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are not a man that you should lie, nor the Son of Man that you should repent. Have you said it? Will you not do it? We know you will. We give you praise. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship, the communion, the contribution, the participation, and the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit, may it rest and abide with you all, now and forever. And all God's children say, amen and amen and amen.